2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Ever snore so loud it registered as an earthquake, or you woke up with a throat as dry as the Sahara Desert and a headache that could stop a locomotive? Well, I've had all of these because I have sleep apnea. Hi, I'm Scott Mitchell. Yep, I wear a machine plugged into a wall attached to a hose every night. Sound Sleep Medical changed all of this for me, and they can do that for you. They specialize in providing oral appliance therapy for individuals suffering from sleep disorders. In many cases, oral appliances have proven to be as effective as CPAP machines in treating sleep apnea. The lack of sleep is a serious health risk and has been linked to heart disease, stroke, diabetes, and even depression. The oral appliance I got from Sound Sleep Medical has freed me from a hose. I can go anywhere, and I've never slept better. Call Sound Sleep Medical today. Seriously, for a limited time, the first 25 people that call get a free consultation worth $200. Call 801-783-5451. It's 801-783-5451.
All right, welcome in to another Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall. It is the week of the NBA draft. And yes, we do want to talk about the NBA draft with Jeremiah Jensen here. But I don't think that's going to be the number one topic just because we've got to start off with Mike Conley again. And that is because it's been reported by The Athletic that Mike Conley is going to be traded and that the Utah Jazz are the front runners in possibly picking up Mike Conley. There are some other teams out there, but it seems like Utah seems to be the clear favorite in picking up Mike Conley. And I think that there are good reasons why the Jazz want to do it. I've gone on record, if you've listened to the podcast before, and if you haven't, just go back and listen to previous podcasts, why I'm not a big fan of going after Mike Conley. But I'm not going to go down that path today. I think there are good reasons for going for it. You can't be adult here and say, oh, this is just a terrible deal. I think there are good reasons that the Jazz want to pursue that, and that's why they're being linked to Mike Conley. And Jeremiah, I think he probably has some reasons or ideas why he thinks the Jazz would want to go for Mike Conley. He's talked about him before, but what do you think that big one or two reasons why you think the Jazz, why this would be a good move for the Jazz right now and why the Jazz are wanting to make this deal right now on the week of the draft?
So there's a number of reasons why Mike Conley would be the best player to pursue in this offseason. He's the best fit. Number one, he is that point guard that they are looking for. They do have that position of need. Ricky Rubio's not going to return next season. Mike Conley brings to the table some things that Ricky Rubio didn't. The ability to finish strong at the rim, and that doesn't mean dunking, by the way. It just means he can finish with consistency at the rim. He can also shoot the three well, 36% three-point shooter last season, coming off one of the best years of his career, by the way. But what he really provides the Jazz is scoring. Now, there was a problem last year, in my opinion, where they just had to ask a sophomore player to do too much. Donovan was great. It took him a few weeks at the beginning of the season, I guess even a couple months, to kind of figure out how teams were trying to defend him, because teams had they had the scouting report on him. They knew who he was. And there was an effort put forth to stop him. And he had to adjust to that. But you're also asking somebody who in their second year in the league to carry too much of an offensive burden. Adding Mike Conley to that backcourt not only provides that offensive output that they're missing and they're lacking, but it also takes pressure off of Donovan Mitchell, where Mike Conley can now be the primary facilitator, the primary ball handler, and Donovan can do what he does best, which is score. That doesn't mean Donovan can't get in ISO situations. Mike Conley can attack the paint. He's an attacking player. He can get where he needs to go, and that's exactly what you need at that point guard position. In my opinion, he's a top 25 player in the NBA, and so if you're going to add him to Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, all of a sudden, in my opinion, you have three top 25 guys. That's a contender. And so Mike Conley would instantly make them a contender in the Western Conference, especially now that we've seen the issues that Golden State now has. It's wide open, and you've seen what the Lakers have done. So everybody's trying to keep up with the Joneses, and I think this would be the move for the Jazz to do that.
Can I real quickly play off of that? I think that's probably your number one reason right there to go for Mike Conley. I think that everything else you've mentioned, I think we've kind of already known, and you spelled it out perfectly in there. But I think going for it right now, not only for the trade, but it's also the let's go for it right now. Look what's happened at Golden State. They may not have Kevin Durant at all because he may go to another team, but they're not going to have Klay Thompson. They can still be a very good team out there, but they're not that juggernaut that you have. Houston's in disarray. We've seen that in reports this past week. We really don't know how good the Lakers are going to be. They're going to have two of the best players on the planet, but who are they going to play around him?
Exactly.
Besides Kyle Kuzma. And I think Kyle will fit in nicely around those guys, but you've still got to fill out the rest of the roster. You can't play with three guys. I know they got a couple of other guys there, too.
What did we see in the playoffs this year?
You need to have depth.
And the teams
need to have good players, and you need to have depth.
Yep.
And we saw what happened to the Warriors this past season. We saw what happens when you have one superstar go down. They almost were able to stay with Toronto with that one superstar. He just happens to be, if not the number one player on the planet, the number two player on the planet. And they were still able to hold because they had Steph Curry, they had Klay Thompson, they had Draymond Green. Well, once Klay went down, then it got a lot tougher. And so what we saw was Toronto, and they had a good, deep team. And so I think what you see is that the Jazz are looking around the landscape of the Western Conference. It's wide open. We haven't even talked, as we said the last time, we haven't talked about Denver. I don't think they're going to make any big moves, but you would imagine they're going to at least be as good as they were this past season, unless, again, injuries bite them, or maybe even better. And then you have Portland, too. You would figure Portland's going to try and do something to become better because they made it to the Western Conference Finals this past season. And they've got some good players, but they seem to like they need to do some rejiggering. I would think that would be the number one reason to go for it now and go get Mike Conley. You got a veteran presence like you talked about, and you've got a guy that, you know, when you look at that starting lineup, Conley, Mitchell, Joe, I'm not sure who's going to start at the four right now, but I'm just going to pencil in Jay Crowder right now as a small ball four. It could be someone else, and we don't know who that is in Rudy, but at least four of those guys. You got a pretty good lineup right there in which you're also putting Joe back to being a small forward who doesn't have to create as much, who might be able to concentrate, at least with those guys, about concentrating on his shot a little bit more. If they're looking around the rest of the Western Conference right now, they're probably saying to themselves, why not now? Let's just do it now. Let's just see what we can get now. And Mike Conley is probably the best guy to get because he's going to bring a calming presence. He's a veteran, and I'm going to play off another thing you said. He's not a ball hawk. He's not going to be that guy that says, give the ball to me. Don't worry. I'll take care of it. I think he could say that at times, but he'd probably say, give the ball to me. Don't worry. I'm going to make the right play instead of I'm going to shoot the ball.
Yeah, and to your point about having to make a move in the West right now, all those teams you mentioned that are right in that tier with the Jazz, the Rockets, if you want, maybe that's generous because obviously the Rockets handle the Jazz, but I'll throw them in there. Portland, Denver, all those teams don't have cap space. The Jazz do. That's the advantage the Jazz have, and they have an ability right now to add a third player that would be a difference maker. And that's why I think it would be very important for them to be aggressive about that and make that move. One more point I need to make about Mike Conley and why a Mike Conley trade may be of more benefit to the Utah Jazz than waiting in free agency is, according to Tony Jones of The Athletic, Derek Favors is not part of these trade talks with the Memphis Grizzlies. Unfortunately, that means there's probably another popular player that would be. That could be Jay Crowder. That could be Joe Ingles. That could be Dante Exum. We don't know. One of those players, salary-wise, would probably have to move along with this year's draft pick and possibly another first-round pick. That's all speculation. I don't know. That's what you probably have to do to make a deal work, though. But not having to renounce Derek Favors and to be able to bring in a player Mike Conley's ability, you're keeping Favors. That is awesome. And trust me, I've talked to people in the Jazz organization. They do not want Derek Favors to leave. They are realistic in understanding that if they are going to add a big name free agent, they would have to renounce him, and that's just how the business would work. But they want to keep Derek Favors. And if they have an opportunity to do a deal like this that puts them in that tier and makes them a contender, and they're able to keep a Derek Favors, which not only because they like him, but because he's Rudy Gobert insurance. What if Rudy doesn't play 80 games next year? You have to think about those things. They would be very thin at that position if they lost Derek Favors. He would be badly missed. So if they're able to keep him, they still have that depth in the front court that they would need. So that whole scenario is why the Mike Conley trade, in my opinion, would be of more benefit to the Jazz than if they are going to chase a free agent in the free agent market.
I would probably say other reasons why they should do this, and you kind of mentioned it, and I kind of alluded to it, that he's solid and he's steady. If you go back, I know he's had some injury issues, and yeah, that could be an issue. But when you look back over his statistics over the past few years, they really haven't varied that much. This past season, he averaged 21 points and 6 assists. I'm taking out the season before because he only played 12 games because of an injury. The season before that, he averaged 20 points and 6 assists. He was down a little bit the season before, but again, he didn't play as many games. His scoring has gone up. His assists are good. He's just a steady all-around player that you would like to have on your team. Three-point percentage-wise, last season, 36%. Two seasons ago, I'm not counting the season previous to that, he was 41% from behind the three-point line. He is steady, and I think he would come in here and he would provide a calming influence to the Jazz's younger players, and he would be able to show them, you know, basically how things go. I think that would be another reason that you'd want him. And I've talked a lot about his age, how I'm not a big favor of his age. He's 32. But let's go back. I know I'm going to go back in the Wayback Machine 20 years ago when John and Carl went to the NBA Finals and they were in their mid-30s. You can still play at a high level while you're in your 30s. You're going to be off of his contract in a couple of years. You still may be able to bring him back even after that at a lower deal, and he could still be your point guard. I think that there are a lot of positives bringing Mike Conley in. Again, if you want to go back to other podcasts, you can hear why I don't like. But I think that there are a lot of reasons to bring Mike Conley in. But there are some other things, and I do want to ask you about this. I think one of the things that you have to consider is, who are you going to lose if you trade for Mike Conley? You talked about maybe a fan favorite in Jae Crowder. Maybe Dante Exum might be on the move. Are you, when it comes to players, Jeremiah, who are you willing to give up to get a Mike Conley on your team?
This is the harsh reality of the business in the NBA. In order to get a good player, you're going to have to give up something. I would give up any player except Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert.
Really? You go that far?
You have to.
Okay. Okay.
Look, but what does that do? The Toronto Raptors are an excellent example. They traded away one of the most popular players in franchise history, a guy who spent his entire career in Toronto, won a lot of games, was an all-star in Toronto. They made the difficult choice to trade DeMar DeRozan. And what was the result? An NBA championship. You have to make tough decisions. You have to be bold. And the Jazz, especially with, you know, I think it's, at this point, it's a kind of a stereotype, but whatever. So they can't go out and just go out and get free agents. Well, not a lot of teams in the league can. So, but if that's the case, then the opportunity to get a player of Mike Conley's caliber in the open market, via trade or free agency, is an opportunity you have to jump at. And this is how it works. If you've got a player that the other team likes, but you want that player that they have, you're going to have to give them that player. And that's what the Jazz are going to have to do. It's going to be tough. Look, I'm talking about fans really love. Giving up a Joe Ingles or a Jae Crowder or a Dante Exum. There's still a lot of Jazz fans and even the Utah Jazz themselves still believe in Dante Exum's ability to become a very good player in this league. But in order to get a guy like Mike Conley, you're going to have to give up something, and that's the position the Jazz are in. The Jazz have to make a move. If they stay the same, the result's not going to be good.
Let me rephrase. Who would be the guys that would be toughest to give up? I would think that the two toughest to give up right now, in my opinion, would be Derek Favors, but it doesn't sound like he's going to go anywhere. I'd say number two is Joe Ingles.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds a little weird.
Not just, at all, actually.
But he is kind of like the guy we're talking about right now, Mike Conley. He's kind of a glue guy. Mike can score more, but But Joe is really a glue guy for this team that really brings this team together. And you love having him on your team. You hate facing him. And so that would probably be the second guy that I'd say, oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Do you really want him? And if you're Joe Ingles, it's like, do I really want to go to Memphis right now? That would be tough.
No.
But in reality, it's more of a, are you sure you really want him? I don't think Memphis would want a guy like that. Those would probably be the two guys that I would say it would be hardest to give up. And then after that, I think after that, it's kind of a toss-up. There are guys that you'd like to see on the team, but I think you'd probably be able to say a guy like a Dante Exum. I think you'd love to see him flourish here in Salt Lake City, but I think you'd be willing to give him up to get a guy like Mike Conley. I think you like Jay Crowder because he loves being here, and he says he wants to recruit guys, and he seems another heart and soul of the team. But I think you'd be okay to give him up. Grayson Allen, we really don't know what he is made of. Royce O'Neal, probably be the other guy I could think of right now. He'd be tough to give up just because of all the little things he does for this team.
And his contract value. He's such a great value for the Jazz right now.
Exactly.
Such a great value.
But I'd probably still say the other two guys. Are those the two guys you'd say that'd be hardest to give up right now?
Would be tough because of who he is. And he's got Jazz DNA. He's a great story. He's won so many games here. But in so many playoff battles, he means a lot to fans here, his family. I mean, he just feels like family, right? This is the hard part. And now I'm going to be cold business guy. Here's the reality with Joe Ingles. He's going to turn 32 this year.
Yeah.
And now you're saying, you're worried about having Mike Conley at age 32? This is the reality. You got to find – when a player is at its peak value, you need to take advantage of that. And a crafty GM, this is the cold part of the business of basketball, would see, okay, Joe's been great for us, but is he close to tipping to the other side where his skills start to diminish, where his age starts to show? And you maybe trade while his value is up. That's why, and there's probably value in him going to Memphis because you mentioned all the qualities that he has. Perhaps they want a guy with those kind of qualities and that kind of character to help with the young team that they have. Again, we're speculating. Maybe Memphis has another idea. Maybe it's Jay Crowder that they love. And you can be harsh about the Jay Crowder. I love Jay Crowder. I love his toughness. He's been that guy that's really gave this team some backbone the last 2 years. But he's not a great three-point shooter. He's undersized at the position. I'm being cold basketball GM guy because you have to make cold decisions here. So you would in a second move Jay Crowder to Memphis if it meant getting Mike Conley. It's not even a thing you have to think about. And I think Jay and Joe understand the business and they would understand it. Would they be hurt by it? Absolutely. But they understand how this works. Jay's been traded before. Joe got cut by the Clippers. They get this business. That's what you're going to have to do to get better. You're going to have to make tough decisions like that.
The other tough part about this, and this goes even way back to last season, and that is you look at this team and there's not a jerk on this team who's left on this roster. And you could even go back to Ricky Rubio. There really is not a
great human being,
bad guy on this roster. And that's what makes it tough. If it was a guy that was, you know, playing terribly, and you could make an argument that some of these guys had some problems during the season, but in reality, I think they all played up to their potential this past season. You'd like to see him play a little bit better, but they probably played up to their potential this past season. The hard thing is, personality-wise, these are all good guys. I believe Mike Conley's a good guy coming in, but you know, what good guys do you want to give up to get potentially a better guy that could take you to the next level? So my next real quick question for you is, you would imagine that if this trade goes through, that the Jazz's first-round draft pick would be gone.
That'd be part of the deal, absolutely. And possibly, you know, somebody like Grayson Allen could be thrown there as well. Again, speculation, not reporting anything, just that's what it would probably take to make this deal done.
So how many draft picks are you – if they don't want as many players and they say, nah, we'd rather have this year's first-round draft pick, how many other draft picks are you willing to give up, Jeremiah, to get Mike Conley for that let's win now mode?
I would give them this year's, and I would give them 2021.
Okay, so consecutive. You can't do it in 20 because the NBA rules against that.
Correct.
You need to do it every other year.
So I would give them 2021. I would.
Okay.
That's two drafts.
If I was Memphis, I think I would say we'll take 2023. I know that seems a little weird, but
sure.
maybe
right.
they're but maybe but what
you're
what they're
making a good point.
What they're probably hoping for is what New Orleans is kind of hoping for with the Lakers is
right.
that if we get enough draft picks far out and the Lakers start to dip a little bit, our draft picks are going to look good whether we keep them or not. You know, that's fine. Or whether we trade them away, we just like having that asset. I would think that you don't want to go more than two, though.
No, you don't do that. And that was basically my point is if you have to give up two to make this happen, that's how important it is that you make this happen. It really is.
If the Jazz are the front runners, which are the other teams out there I've heard floating around, or maybe it's just, again, speculation?
Pistons.
Phoenix. Pistons were supposedly in the running during the season.
Yeah. So the one team that really scares me now, if this has just happened as we're taping this, but the Boston Celtics learned that Al Horford, and well, according to Woj, that they're no longer talking, and it's likely that Al Horford, who opted out of his $30 million contract, is now going to test is going to be an unrestricted free agent and will probably leave Boston. So all of a sudden, if Kyrie leaves and if Al Horford leaves, the Celtics are going to have around $24 million in cap space, I believe, according to the report I read. If that is the case, then all of a sudden the Celtics may have the flexibility that they need to go out and get Mike Conley, and that would help them tremendously because, you know, is Mike Conley Kyrie? No, but he's close enough that you wouldn't have a terrible drop-off and you could still win at a high clip. And I think that that's what the Celtics are going to try to do here is try to acquire somebody like that. So all of a sudden, in my opinion, I think the Celtics would be a team you have to look out for that might throw their hat in the ring here. And they have probably more assets than the Jazz do to try to go after Mike Conley. Similar assets. Like they have three first-round picks in this year's draft. Maybe they float some. There's things that the Celtics could do that maybe the Jazz couldn't in trying to acquire him. But I think the Jazz would have the edge over other teams like the Pistons, who we mentioned. The Pacers have some space and some things they're trying to do, and they would probably like to add Conley next to Victor Oladipo, and that would be a really good team. You mentioned Phoenix. I don't think that Phoenix is looking to add a guy with a $30 million contract. Although they are desperate for a point guard, I'm not sure where that organization is at, but
they may want to draft one instead too. And, you know,
right? I mean, they have the space and they have a need, so you can't rule that out.
It would be interesting if he ended up with the Celtics. I'm going to go back to something I said earlier in the season when I said I'd love it if Ricky Rubio ended up on the Celtics. I think that would be a wonderful match, mainly because you're putting a guy who really doesn't shoot that well with a whole bunch of guys that can shoot.
Yeah.
I think that would actually benefit both sides, but I could totally understand why they want to go for Mike Conley. I mean, if they had problems with what was going on with trying to trade for Anthony Davis, and I'm not even talking about Anthony Davis saying he didn't want to play there or his dad saying he didn't want to play there. I'm more talking about what are they willing to give up to get Mike Conley. They've got some good young assets there, and they've got some nice draft picks too. How much are they going to be willing to part to get a guy like Mike Conley? That would be fascinating. All right, so on SportsBeat, you add Walt Perrin in,
mm-hmm.
and you talked about a whole bunch of guys that the Jazz could draft, which, by the way, as we just talked about, if the Jazz make a deal for Mike Conley, this is all going to be moot.
Right.
But it may not happen. The deal may not happen. And so what we may find is that the Jazz do choose someone at 23, or maybe they still trade away. But there are guys that Walt says, hey, this draft is actually, we weren't sure what it was going to be like, but we think it's going to be better than maybe what people think. After talking to Walt and after kind of scrounging about what kind of guy is the Jazz looking for, maybe if they end up with the 23rd, well, they have the 23rd pick, if they end up picking at number 23 is what I'm really trying to say.
Well, they're going to tell you best player available. So then I'm going to move beyond that
cliche.
And I'm going to tell you who the best players who might be available in that position. My top five guys who I think are realistic options at number 23. I'm going to start with Thiondu Kabengele out of Florida State.
I'm glad you said his first name.
Well, Walt told me they just call him Fee.
Okay.
So you can call him Fee when the Jazz draft him. But Fee is a guy that would add a lot of front court depth, and he's got a lot of potential to grow as a big man. And so I think they see that potential. And the Jazz would be picking a developmental guy here, a guy that they would – but maybe they're looking for a senior. My second guy, number two, is Dylan Windler of Belmont. This is a guy who, again, it's a senior. We know who he is, but he's a guy with the kind of skills that might be able to crack your rotation. They're looking for shooters, and this guy can shoot. He's also bigger, and he's I'm not really sure who to compare him to, but go to YouTube and watch some Dylan Windler highlights, and you might fall in love with him. My number three guy, I really like Eric Paschal. I think the Jazz might too. He's obviously the reason why he's available in that range is he does have some shortcomings with his game, but he can shoot. And the Jazz are looking for shooters, and he's also got the potential to play a stretch four, which is what I hear a lot of fans saying, we need a stretch four. Well, Eric Paschal is a guy that could come off the bench and do that for you, or eventually develop into a starter if things went really well. He's a national champion at Villanova, and he's also got some size and some toughness. So those are three guys. I'm going to go KZ Akpala as a developmental guy out of Stanford. He's kind of a boomer bust guy, but you're willing to take a risk on a guy at that position. And then my number five guy is Carson Edwards out of Purdue.
Okay.
Now, he may not, that may be a little too high for him, but he can score. And the Jazz are going to need some depth at the point guard position, depending on how everything falls out. And Carson Edwards is a guy that, man, he can finish at the rim. He can shoot the three. He can shoot the three really well, and he can light it up. He was the star of the NCAA tournament, and that's a guy that I would like to see what he could do with that team. Again, another guy that can shoot. So I'm tempted to move Carson Edwards up, but he's just not ranked as high as those other guys, and obviously his size is a reason why. Another guy you could look out, maybe Bruno Fernando out of Maryland, is a guy that I think that they like.
Do you really think I wanted to ask you about Bol Bol. Why I bring up both those guys there, the last guy that you talked about, does Utah really want to look for another center? They've got, if they are able to keep Derek Favors, they'd have three centers on their roster. I guess one of them might be traded out, or one of them they'd have to trade out or release. Are they really looking for another center? That would be the one thing. I know you want to say best guy available, but is that what you're really looking for right now? As you talked about, they're looking for shooting, and I know Bol Bol can shoot, and he's 7'2". Of course, he's also only 210 pounds.
Right.
But is that what you're really looking for with Bol Bol or Bruno Fernando, another center that maybe you fit in there, or another developmental guy? I guess when I look at it, I would think that they may want to look for, like what you're talking about, a stretch four or another wing, because you just can't seem to have enough wings right now in the NBA. I would just find it hard to believe that they would draft a center. I know, best player available,
yep.
But I'm still going to say hard to believe that they would do that right now. But you at least named one, and I just named another.
Well, and Fiondu Kabengele is a 6'10 power forward who could probably play the five at the NBA. If he's available at number 23, they're not going to pass on him. His stock is high. I don't think he's going to be there, but if he is there, that's a guy that they would probably target, because that's the highest rated guy they had in on draft workouts. But yeah, they would add depth there, and then worry about it later. But there are some other options. Those guys, any of those guys I mentioned would be excellent number 23 picks. Outside of Fiondu, they can shoot, and they need to add shooting. And they mentioned that in the offseason. Now, do any of those guys crack the rotation next year if they take them? Nah, probably not. Grayson Allen didn't crack the rotation last year, except for a couple games here and there. So they're taking a guy with development in mind, but these are guys that can shoot and guys that may fit what they really need, and some guys that I think would also fit their culture.
You mentioned that the Jazz, that not only are they looking for shooting, but what they're looking for, they'll choose the best guy. And you also mentioned that, hey, don't quote me on this, this is pure speculation. I'm going to purely speculate now. Whether they trade this pick away, or, well, I'm just going to say, I think they trade the pick away. I think they're going to trade the pick away. Whether that goes to Mike Conley or another trade, I think they trade the pick away. I wouldn't be surprised if they try and buy their way back into the top of the second round. I don't know with who.
Oh, sure.
Philadelphia has a couple of picks there at the top of the second round, but I think, and then they've got one in the first round, too. I wouldn't be surprised. Atlanta also has a second round. They've got 2 second-round picks that I can see, and they've got 3 first-round picks. I wouldn't be surprised to see them try to buy their way back in so that for contractual purposes, not guaranteed money. You don't have a salary slot there saying, I have to pay you this much money. You could work with those guys. And what you're hearing from a lot of draft experts, I read a lot of draft stuff, and what you're hearing from a lot of draft experts is pretty much after like the top 5 or maybe even 10, pretty much everyone after that, it's kind of like, yeah, they're good. Yeah, they're pretty good too. Yeah, they're pretty good. I mean, they're pretty much all even after that. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Jazz try to trade their way back into the top. They get rid of that first round pick and they try to trade their way back into the front part of the second round because they may find a guy who's just as good as someone that they would find at number 23.
I think you're on to something that I've thought about, and I think you're dead on that scenario could play out, because I know for a fact, and Walt said this on our show, when he started his draft evaluation, started the workouts, he was pretty down on the draft, but by now, he thinks there's some guys that are going to be in that range, maybe even all the way to 40, that can be NBA players, that can make a rotation or even start. So there's some talent there, and I think that the Jazz will have their eye on somebody, and if the guy they really like floats into the second round, they will be aggressive in trying to do exactly what you just talked about. Maybe like I mentioned Carson Edwards, how much I like Carson Edwards. And I mean, he'd be a nice backup point guard for them that it would be interesting to see how he would develop. But obviously Dante would probably back up a Mike Conley if that deal happens. But
right.
To add some depth, and you don't know what Howell Neto is going to do either. So they might lose Howell as well. So you're going to need some more point guards. And so getting a guy like Carson Edwards at the top of the second round, if you're able to make that move, would be worth whatever it takes to do that. And that would give you a guy that, a lower salary structure that's not a guarantee, kind of like, you know, they've been able to take advantage of that in the past. So I could absolutely see that scenario playing out because they like a lot of guys that may not be first-round guys.
Last thing we want to talk about with the draft, and this is going to deal with Kevin Arnovitz's story on ESPN.com. He wrote a column about abolishing the draft and basically letting players pick where they may want to go, or maybe you can come up with a match system where the player says, I'd like to go to like these 3 to 5 teams, and the teams would say, these are the 3 to 5 players, and then they would end up matching. I think it's an interesting idea, and I understand the freedom of being able to choose who you want to play for, and you know, that's just like the rest of the world. You choose where you're going to work in every sense. I mean, it's not like when you came to work for KSL. It's not like you were like, nah, you know, they didn't pick you in a draft or anything like that. You wanted to work here, and that's how you got your job. And I totally get that. But let me just say, and I want to get a quick comment from you on this. This still, I think, more than anything, hurts small market teams like the Utah Jazz or other teams like that. Maybe teams like the Minnesota Timberwolves, or I could name other teams, the Portland Trailblazers. I think those are 3, and by the way, all those teams are in the Northwest. I think it would hurt teams like that more than any, because how are you going to convince a 19-year-old to come and play in a place like Minneapolis or Salt Lake or maybe even Portland? I think that would be really tough. I know that his story is really good, and it talks about salary structure, and not every player would end up in Los Angeles or New York or Boston.
Right. There's only so much room. Right.
Exactly. But I still think that if you're the Utah Jazz, you would find it hard getting guys to come in and like Salt Lake that much.
I don't hate his idea. I like the freedom.
Saying it would be tough for it would be like a recruiting process in college all over again.
But,
and it would be tough for the Jazz to get certain players.
Yeah.
Some guys, and I mentioned to you, that's what I'm trying to say, before we even started. The one success the Jazz have had is they've been able to draft players or trade for players or get players. They come here to Salt Lake, and those players like playing in Salt Lake. But they almost have to be here first. I still think it would be really tough getting a 19-year-old to come in and like playing in Salt Lake right off unless they are familiar with the area.
Or maybe it's a guy that's really into basketball. He doesn't care about the nightlife or any of these other things. He's just focused on his game. They bring him into the facility, and they're wowed by the facilities because I've been around the other places in the league, and their facilities aren't great. It's kind of like college where you go out and you have to impress. I mean, look at colleges that, I mean, how do you recruit guys like George Niang to Ames, Iowa, and Iowa State? It happens, right? There's all kinds of these dumpy college towns around the country that that are able to recruit big name players. It's about the program. It's what you're doing. So I kind of like the idea, to be honest with you, and I don't think it would hurt the Jazz as much as maybe you think. Obviously, there's some guys. There's a lot of guys that are going to want to go to South Beach, want to go to L.A., but not everybody can go there. And then what, you know? So I think Donovan Mitchell. I think the Jazz would have won the recruiting battle for Donovan Mitchell.
Because that was going to be my next question.
They were so impressed. He was so impressed with what they did, and that workout and everything stood out to him so much. And his agent placed him here. That was a fit, and it worked out. And so, how do you know you wouldn't have landed Donovan Mitchell in that scenario? Because they wanted him so much, they identified him as that guy. So you never know. I get your concerns 100%, and it's never going to happen, but because it would be bad for the league as a whole. But I like the idea to put a lot more pressure on organizations to be better.
No, I agree with you. That's the one thing I do agree with you on. The organizations would have to step up and not worry about, oh, well, we're not good. We better tank now and see if we can get a top pick. Well, that's changed a little bit now. I think it would force teams to be better, but the more opportunities they have to get better, you're not going to find a lot of guys that are going to say, you know what, I really want to go play in Milwaukee.
Hey, Giannis does though.
Well, but
now all of a sudden,
but he
see
was
what I'm
drafted.
Saying?
He was drafted, and then
but
he's come to love.
He's become a superstar that has any endorsement he wants now in Milwaukee.
Yes, it's very it's true. And actually, if he would have gone to Giannis, he probably would have said, I don't care where I play. Put me with any team and I'll probably enjoy it. Real quickly, going back to Donovan, the only thing I would say is I think it was a good fit with the Jazz, but if a team like the Miami Heat, you talked about South Beach, they have a good culture down there too. Yeah, they've made some bad decisions on spending, but they have a good culture down there too. That's going to appeal to a lot of guys to say, yeah, I wouldn't mind going to play down there, or maybe I want to play a little bit closer to home. Some guys don't want to do that. Some guys do want to do that. Could you see Donovan maybe playing for the Knicks if they would have shown a little bit of interest in him?
Absolutely not.
The Brooklyn Nets maybe?
Nope. Because this was what he was looking for. It was a match made in heaven.
All right. That's Jeremiah Jensen. My name's Cleon Wall. Thanks a lot for listening to the Jazz Notes podcast. We really appreciate it. Draft coming up. We'll have a breakdown of the draft after it is all done, and we'll see if the Jazz actually pick at number 23. Jeremiah and I think they're both going to trade that pick away. We'll see who they get on draft day, especially probably in the second round. That's all coming up later this week on the Jazz Notes podcast right here, powered by KSL Sports.